Om Shanti. So today the topic is, I'm going to give you a few some Hindi words, because everybody likes to learn Hindi, right? So one is Laksh, and one is Lakshan. And Baba used to use the word Lux soap to refer to this. You know Lux soap, right? Lux soap, yes? So the thing about this word Laksh means your aim, and Lakshan is your qualifications. And the aim that Baba has given us is something that he uses this analogy of Lux soap for. And so that's all about cleaning up one's act. So the idea is to make your aim and your qualifications equal. And so the assumption is that the aim is one thing and the qualification is something else. If the qualification was as the aim is, there's no need for us to have a spiritual university. So it's a given that we are trying to attain something. And one description of that is a deity. So we're trying to become a deity. Yes, are you trying to become deities? Right, yes. And so it's very difficult to become something you don't know what it is. Right? You've seen pictures of deities, but you haven't seen an actual deity. Right? Obviously, there's no deities in the Iron Age. And in the confluence age, there's pictures of deities, but there's no deities. Unless you go in trance, then you can see deities. Not very many people go in trance. Right? And one thing we do know is that the pictures of deities and the actual deities are vastly different. So it's very difficult to become a deity if all you have as your reference point is a picture of a deity, right? We all have one, these Lakshmi Narayan. This is called our aim and object. So that's Laksh. And then the qualifications of a deity are described in a certain phrases which are quite well known. And, for example, it is said, a deity is complete with all the virtues. So you have a list of 36 virtues, 108 virtues, 1008 virtues, 8 virtues, 12 virtues, 50 virtues, whatever your list happens to be. And so then the idea is to have all of those, right? Then a deity is called someone who is completely viceless. So then you have a similar list of vices. I remember once when I was in Los Angeles, we had a program from Madhuban that we should have classes or workshops on anger. And so we thought, okay, we'll figure out what anger is. And we found 108 different kinds of anger. And so that's a lot of work. Then if you multiply that by 5, you've got, 540 different kinds of vices. All of which you have to get rid of. And then, a deity is 16 celestial degrees complete. So for that, your reference point is the full moon. So you have to shine like the full moon. And then you have various different arts, the degrees or the arts. The same word kala is used. So you have the 16 arts. So there's various books on the arts, right? The of living. The art of concealing and revealing, and the art of friendship, and the art of all the various different arts, right? And so then a deity is Maryada Purushottam. That means you are a highest human being who follows all the codes of conduct. So then you have a long list of different Maryadas, right? And so it's a lot of work to do this. And then a deity is, let's see, anyway, that's enough to get on with, isn't it? So then you have to see yourself. You see, there is an expression Baba uses, which I think is very useful for this one, which is called Dil Darpan, the mirror of your heart. See yourself in the mirror of your heart. And so your heart in this case corresponds to your conscience. And so then the question arises, do you have a clear conscience? So how do you know how clear your conscience is? So this requires a very rigorous self-inventory. So I don't know if you have ever embarked upon the process of examining your conscience. Have you done that? It's very time-consuming and it's quite depressing. Because we're not allowed to get depressed, so we shouldn't examine our conscience too much. But unless we examine our conscience, we're not going to really know where we are. So for that, you have to be quite strong. So are you strong? Yes? And because there's a vast difference between what we are and what we're supposed to be. And so if you become too conscious of that difference, the distance between what you are and what you're supposed to be is so vast, it's like impossible, so you might as well not even try, you know. So then what do you do is self-deception. And so then we convince ourselves that we're okay. Yes? Because if we think we're not okay, then we're just not going to even bother to wake up in the morning, right? So we have to find some kind of a balance in which we have sufficient enthusiasm to undertake this process and be there for the long haul. So there are some tactics that can be used for this. Because Baba has told us we have to change. Sometimes he puts it as you have to turn. And if we look at ourselves and we say, well, I'm fine. What do I have to change? I don't have to change anything. It was interesting what Daddy Jenki was telling us this morning, that happiness is missing. A person will find in themselves, okay, the happiness that's supposed to be there is not there. I do Amrit Vela, I go to class, I follow all the Srimats, I do godly service, everything, and still I'm not happy as I should be. And so there's something missing. And what's missing is really the purity. And because when a soul is absolutely pure, then of course you are absolutely blissful. And so if we're not blissful, that means we're not pure. And of course we're not pure because if we were pure, we wouldn't be sitting here. in hell trying to go to heaven. Right? And so, you know, you have to find somewhere to start. But we're not at the starting point. We've been doing this for a long time, right? You have to have been doing this for quite a while, because otherwise nobody will let you come to Madhuban. Unless you're a VIP. And then you come to Madhuban first, and then you have to start doing the work. But, so we've been going along the path, and we've been getting our rhythm of the practice going. And we've been encountering Maya from time to time, yes? A little bit here and there. And, you know, Maya's job is to remove our happiness. And our job is to not let our happiness be removed. But if our happiness is gone, then it's too late, right? Because it's already gone. And so then to get it back is also work. And so I think it's really at that point that you start really thinking, okay, what is this really all about? And what am I really supposed to be doing here? Yes? So in my personal journey, I looked at myself one day. I think I'd been in Gyan 25 years at that time. And I was in Los Angeles, and I was having lots of settlement of karma going on of the body. And so that required being, you know, flat on the back, waiting for extreme pain to pass and go away. And so during that time, I thought, okay, let me examine my conscience with a fine-tooth comb and see what is there. And I found that the advancement I had made in 25 years corresponded to half an inch, or 1 centimeter. So I thought, well, in order to reach where I'm supposed to get, it's going to take several kalpas. And so we're going to have to accelerate the process somewhat. And I found that quite an interesting realization, that what is possible to do, what is required to accelerate the process of becoming what we're supposed to become. And so examining the conscience is a very tricky process, because you need time, first of all. So when you're sick, it's very good because you have plenty of time. And so you might just sit with yourself for about a month and just try to see where is there a discrepancy between what you say to yourself about what you are and what a clear conscience would be, I see. So it's an internal journey, and it's an internal discovery process, a kind of archaeology of the soul. You have to go down to the very, very bottom of yourself. And I think what you have to look for and try to get a hold of is your power. Right? So you have to find your power. That's really what it's about. And your weakness, which Baba said in the Murali today, is the ego problem. And your power is when you've understood who you are and what you are, which makes you free. So in order to go from ego-based to self-respect-based, there's something that you have to go through. And in the in the process of doing that, I made a few discoveries. And one of them is that you're on your own. You're on your own. I think we don't like that idea, right? We have the family, we have Shri Baba, we have Brahma Baba, we have all these people, and we have dadis and all these people who will tell us and who give us drishti and sakash and help us along the way. And so you're not on your own, but you are on your own. Because our exam, after all, what is our exam? It takes 1 second and it is leaving the body. That's our exam. We know what the exam is, we just don't know when it is. And when you leave the body, even if there's lots of people standing there, you're the only one doing it. And they get left behind, they have to do the funeral. But you know, you go to Baba. And the thing that drives the ego, I mean, one of the things is really fear. Yeah. And, you know, yesterday in Shantivan, in the morning, Daddy was talking about, and she does this action like this, you know, very interesting action, indicating the power of discrimination. She was talking about what exactly is yoga. And yoga is identifying, this is a weak thought, this is a waste thought, this is a powerful thought, this is a negative thought. And the discipline that we have to do is to identify the quality of thoughts that arise in the mind. And so when you sit down and be quiet and meditate, you have to become quiet. And you give your mind a job to do, which is to remember Baba. And remembering Baba also includes having a conversation with Baba, and it also includes, journeying some point of knowledge. And one of the things Baba has said we have to develop is the power of concentration. The power of concentration is indicated when you can think about one thing for more than 10 seconds. That's supposed to be the normal attention span of a normal human being. 10 seconds, it's not very long. So we, BKs, have to be able to think about one thing for an hour. That's a lot of seconds. And when you give yourself a discipline of thinking about, like, I am a soul, for a whole hour, I am a soul, your mind will get distracted by other things. And the discipline of yoga is to give your mind one thing to do. Only one thing. Concentration means to think about one thing only. And if you want to have absolute perfect concentration on Baba, you see, Baba is not a what, Baba is a who. Right? So if you just think about a dot, that's not going to work. Because a dot is a what? It's a thing. And Baba does have the form of a point, but he is not a point. He is a someone who exists in a state of bliss. See? And you also are a being who potentially exists in a state of bliss. So in your yoga, as Daddy was saying today, it's very, very simple. Baba is the ocean of love, I am the form of love, right? Do you remember that? Baba is ocean of bliss, I am, Anant Swarup Atma, form of bliss. So, okay, you give yourself 5 points like this. Purity, peace, power, love, and bliss, the 5 elements of the soul. And you focus yourself on that, and you say to yourself, I am this, I am the essence of purity, peace, power, love, and bliss. See, and then you check that statement against the reality of any 24-hour period, and you will find that you're lying. So which one is true? If you say something based in knowledge given by Baba, it's the truth, right? Yes, has to be, right? I am the essence of purity, peace, power, love, and bliss. Pretty simple, basic, BK knowledge. Then you look at your 24-hour day period and forget about what you say and do, but just look at the thoughts that occur in your mind. Suppose you become aware that a person doesn't like you. It's quite possible. You're very nice, but somebody might not like you for some reason. Right? And if you think that somebody doesn't like you, then you think, what they might do to you. Some people have been churning about jealousy. Dadi has often been speaking to us about jealousy. And the sign of jealousy is that you cause harm to a person. If you're jealous of somebody, you will cause them harm. And so if somebody doesn't like you, it's possible they may be jealous of you. So then they might be thinking of causing you some harm. And so then you may speculate on what harm they might do to you. And this may give rise to a feeling of fear, or an atmosphere of fear. So the thought that we have, based on the perception, it may be valid or invalid, you may be really picking up something, or you may be imagining it. They may actually like you very much, but you think they don't. So your perception causes a stream of thoughts to occur which may be something that produces an energy of fear. Now, you probably know that if you are afraid of some animal, it will definitely bite you, kick you, sting you, or something similar to that, right? So this vibration of fear provokes negative action coming your direction. You see. So the worst thing somebody can probably do to you is kill you. You know, maybe in some painful way, but basically that, you see. And so what one has to do is to figure out what are you going to do with this fear. Because it's a negative thing, it's a poisonous thing, it's producing a negative atmosphere, negative vibration, and it's not good to do that. I see. So, in your relationship with Baba, if you detect that there is fear, how are you going to give it up? And so if you are afraid that somebody might do something nasty to you to the extent of maybe even kill you or be mean to you or whatever the thing is, you see, what this does is it causes this ego to arise. Ego. False ego. And what you have to do is to go to the essence of yourself, which is the essence of purity, peace, power, love, and bliss, and have faith in that. Because finally, no matter what anybody may or may not do to you, anyway you're going to go to Baba. So what's the problem? See what I mean? So you have to find where your weakness is, whatever it might be. Now, if there's ego, one thing that ego will do, or one of the ways in which it will manifest itself, is it will refuse to admit the truth. You see. So you want to be the deity, and you can't be a fear-based deity. It doesn't exist. You know? And so you have to see what the root is of your problem. And Baba's been talking to us quite a lot about self-respect. And so the indicator there is that there is a lack of self-respect. See? So one of the things that many people are very concerned about is not losing face. Right? Especially if you're Japanese. Do we have any Japanese? It's very important in Japan, the whole thing of not losing face. But it's there everywhere in the world. If you have something that you did or something that you are or whatever that is contrary to your conscience, the one thing you don't want is for anybody to know about it. And you certainly don't want it broadcast, you see, and or even referred to, or even slightly indicated, you see, because then people would see that you are defective, you see. And so the ego is such a thing that the one thing it doesn't like is to seem to be defective. And so there is a veneer, yeah, which a person puts on, which is also sometimes called a mask of ego. And when Baba talks to us about ego, he says, you know, as he said in the Murali today, this I think so and so, my idea is like this, or I don't like that, or I disagree, or any of these kinds of things, I, me, my, you see. And when a person doesn't have self-respect, that person will create this veneer, and it will be represented by the I, the body conscious I, you see. So when you're examining your conscience, each and every instance where the soul has identified with this veneer of false ego and acted on that base, every time you do that, you cause your conscience to lose functionality. And so if you look at that over a whole lifetime, the conscience has lost a substantial amount of functionality. Why does a person not have self-respect in the first place is mostly due to, you know, things that occur to a person on a normal everyday life in the Iron Age. You receive messages, oh, you're the wrong color, you're the wrong height, you're the wrong social bracket, you're this, you're that, you're the other, you're never going to make it, you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too something or another, you know, you're stupid, and we don't need you. See? And so any time a person experiences something like that, the ego will compensate for such an experience. And it eats away at the self-respect, like some sort of a termite eating away at a wooden house. And so the more a person gets into the perception that the external moral authorities are looking at you in a way that is not not positive, and the more you try to compensate for it by representing yourself as something that they would consider positive, you see. And so the external moral authorities are who and what? The external moral authorities are the elders of your family, your teachers, and the religious authorities, the religious leaders, you know. Because these are the people who give you the messages about what is good, what is bad, what is nice, what is nasty, you know. And so as a BK, you receive a lot of things from external moral authorities, you see. Because you come to BK with the thought that I want to improve. I want to become a better me. Is that right? I want to meet God. I want to all these things. But also I want to become a better me. Because we know that we get angry. We get lazy. We get irritated. We get, you know, desirous and all of these things. Yeah, I do that, you know. And then Baba gives us lots of Srimat and we see that we're not following much of it. And so then we have to persuade ourselves that, well, we're not doing so badly. Huh? Because we have to keep going, right? And we have to find a way to be satisfied with ourselves, but at the same time, we have to keep, you know, tightening up our process, and we'll keep tuning ourselves. And what we are trying to do, I think, is to get our conscience so fine-tuned that we're able to stop relying on an external moral authority and start to rely on our inner moral authority, which is the conscience. And so to look in the mirror of your heart, I think is only really possible, seriously, when we have been able to let go of reliance on external moral authorities. And one of the problems of external moral authorities is that in very rare cases are they perfect. You know. And we look for someone perfect to emulate, to be our role model. And Baba has provided us with Baba. You know, and told us about the attainment of Brahma Baba, the attainment of Dadi Prakashmani. So we do have people who have officially qualified as Karmateet. Mama, Brahma Baba, and Dadi Prakashmani. We have three. So that's not bad. And then you see we have to compare ourselves with them and try to identify what is the distance that has to be covered. You see, and of course it's quite enormous. Right? Yes. Okay, I'm going to become Bap Saman, right? Like Baba. Well, first of all, Baba gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I can't make that. Right? Or do you do that on a daily basis? Eh? No, huh? So that's a problem right there. And then, you know, anyone who comes in front of Baba, they start to lose all their questions. Anyone comes in front of us, do they lose all their questions? I don't think so. They still have them, you see. So, I mean, you try to compare yourself with Baba, there's a discrepancy. Quite a big discrepancy. And still, Baba keeps on saying, you know, become like Baba. And so then we have to really think, you know, like, what was his effort? And why does he keep telling us to become something that's practically impossible? And why do we keep on trying to do it, knowing it's pretty much impossible? You know? Well, he's the only one who gets to be number one, right? Yeah, so Mama became number one also, Dadi Prakashmani. Not too many Dadi Prakashmanis, believe me. You know. But the one thing, because we saw Dadi Prakashmani, right? Dadi Janki asked us this morning how many people have not seen Dadi Prakashmani, and there was very few. Yeah? So most of us have seen her, know her, spent time with her. And the one thing we know about Dadi Prakashmani is she never ever told a lie in her life. So there's a problem right there. You see, because forget about now and into the future, what about the past, you know? But I think that it's all about being really, really honest. I see. So when you look at your conscience with the aim of being very, very clear and honest with yourself, you see, in order to do that, you have to be very strong. And if you're not very strong, by doing that, you become strong. Dadi Janki said a very interesting thing the other day. And that was that people, many people do not have the experience of victory. To use the word jeet, you know. So then that will provoke a whole big long stream of thought, that what is the experience of victory? Baba has also said you have to have firm, determined thought. So if you look in your conscience and you see that one of the things that I'm susceptible to is fear of losing face. Anybody susceptible to that? One or two here and there? Quite a few. Should be quite a lot. Everybody, you know. So, anyway, having identified that, then there will be a test, because Maya is very attentive on what's going on in your effort. And as soon as Maya sees that you have identified what the problem is, Maya's going to be right there with plenty of tests. And so if you are afraid of losing face, then something's going to come along to cause your face to get lost. And that's the test, you know. Your weakness or your mistake or whatever it is, or even if it isn't, some lie will be spread about you, some character assassination conspiracy will occur, you know, and even if you're completely innocent, everybody thinks that you're not, you might as well not be, because this is how you're perceived. And so losing face, or even if it's just something is being said about you that's not true, you still have to handle it, you see. And what you have to do in that situation is you have to go to the place of your self-respect. That's the only thing you can do, you see. Because the circumstance of losing face is like your sense of self being torn off you. You see? So it's rather like dying. Yeah. So you would rather die than lose face. But you lost face, so you didn't get a chance to die. You know? It's worse than death, right? Yes? So there it is. So you have only one place to go, and that is to your self-respect. Because if you don't, it's going to be so awful and so painful that, you know, you're just dying a million deaths all continuously. So you have to go to your self-respect. And your self-respect is, I'm a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful soul, blissful soul, and I'm a child of God, and He knows the truth about me. Right? Even if nobody else knows the truth about me, but He knows the truth about me, that has to be good enough for me. I see. And when you're in that situation, also you're on your own. Clearly. I see. So you're on your own, and you're in your power. And then the test passes, and it's not there anymore. And all the people who thought whatever it is about you don't even remember that they thought that about you. It's a very strange phenomenon, but it is, you know, it's very interesting the kinds of tests we get. And the purpose of the tests is to put us in a situation where we have no choice but to connect with the self-respect and find the power. And each and every time you do this, your conscience regains functionality. And doing this is, I think, what Daddy means by having the experience of conquest. You see. It's victory. And so you are in your power, you're in your self-respect, and you realize that it doesn't matter. Because it's anyway, it's all in drama one way or the other. And Baba has given us the knowledge of drama so that we can be detached from these events and go to the truth, you see. And the truth of what I am means I get closer to being a deity, I see. So the inner moral authority, the conscience, gets empowered. And then when you get challenged by anything that is a provocation for you to act on the basis of one or another of the 540 vices, right? You don't. You stay in your power, you stay in your self-respect, and you do not fail, you see. Because the provocation comes to see whether you're in victory or whether you get defeated. So an example of a defeat is when you tell a lie, you see. So something may come along and you tell a lie, some situation, you tell a lie. Why are you late? You tell something, whatever it is, it'll be a lie. Or it'll be an excuse, you know. You see. The thing is, you're late. Why are you late? Because you didn't have enough discipline. Or you wasted some time, or you were in a conversation, or whatever, you know. You weren't looking, you had a car crash, you know. Why are you late? Oh, well, you know, this, that, and the other. Because Baba said you don't make excuses now. Right? So practically everything we do, most of the time, is making excuses. You see, so that means telling lies. That means doing an action which is contrary to your own principles. You see? But it's very difficult to be true. Because the conscience has lost functionality, and so the false ego will immediately operate instead of us getting stimulated by the intellect filled with knowledge or the clear conscience, you see. So I think that it's very good at the end of the day or whatever to examine the conscience and try to see what was the thing that made me do something against my own conscience, you see. So when we look at the long list of Srimat and all the vices and all the things we're not supposed to do, it's more difficult to evaluate the self because it's very, very easy to be hypocritical. Because the external moral authorities are by definition hypocritical. Because very rarely is anyone perfect who tells us, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And they do it, or they don't do it. But you yourself become your own teacher and try to act according to your own conscience means that there's this constant communication between yourself and your conscience. So that means you're all the time looking in the mirror of your heart. And so you're doing the work of refunctionalizing the conscience. And every time a test comes, you're more conscious of whether you're defeated or not. Because if you become acutely sensitive to defeat, it in itself is a provocation to get victorious. Because it's very embarrassing to the self to realize that I am regularly defeated by any and every little thing, you see. But there's no self-respect in that. Self-respect arises as you have more and more experience of conquest, you see. Because when you experiment with knowledge. For example, one experiment is that the truth will prevail. Truth will prevail. If you tell the truth in anger, it becomes untruth. That Baba has said. So it means if you want to really be truthful, and tell the truth and live the truth and be the truth, then it means that you want to live according to your conscience. It means you want to be really like a deity, really, really clean, clear, truthful. And I find that people absolutely do not like the truth. We say, yes, I believe in the truth, I love the truth, I only want to hear the truth, but when push comes to shove, truth is very unpleasant. Right? And the truth about oneself, when you go really deep into your mirror of your heart and see the truth about yourself, and you find that you are about 1% okay, is depressing, so you don't like to do it. But still, it's the only way to change that 1% to 2%, 4%, 10%, 20%, etc. And so I think that it's worthwhile to embark upon this process of really searching the conscience and trying to see, where am I susceptible? What is the thing, you know, the Achilles heel in me that causes me to get defeated repeatedly and doesn't allow me to find my self-respect, to find my power, to become real, you know? And Baba said royalty and realty is connected. And so to be a deity also means to be a world emperor. And a world emperor means somebody who has conquered the mind and the sense organs. You remember Daddy Janki was also talking to us about these two. Manjeet and this Indriyajeet, conquering the sense organs. That means the perception, our perception. For us to be able to see reality as it is. The example that's given in India about this is the peacock. You know, and a peacock, he's very proud, and you've seen them around here. They move around in Mount Abu. They're natural here. He's a beautiful big tail, and he's all nice colored, you know, and then he looks down and he sees he's got a chicken feet. So that's very upsetting. You see. So another aspect of this is you have to come to terms with yourself. We have limitations. And Baba has said, you know, the thing that has to go is I. And I think one of the ways of getting the humility that Baba has also been talking about is to understand what our limitations are. And I think that part of the searching, the rigorous searching of the conscience, is to identify the limitations. Because the ego is, I can do everything, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, etc. And the other side of ego is, I'm hopeless, no good, useless, and I just want to die, you know. So this sort of manic depression thing that happens is really an expression of ego. And to be free from the illusions and delusions, superiority and inferiority complexes, this pendulum swinging that we go through, and to be able to understand the self as I am and what I am. And this is also something we saw in Dadi Prakashmani. She had the ability to evaluate herself accurately. And because of that, she was able to become Karmatit. She wasn't under any illusion. So every time you experience yourself getting disillusioned, have you experienced that? Disillusionment? Yes? Very good. Because it's much better not to have illusions. And so the experience of disillusionment is similar to the experience of losing face, you know. It's not that your face has got torn off, but the rose-colored face that you put on everything else around you, that got torn off. And, you know, it's not what you thought, you know. You thought everything was this and that and the other, and it's not. So then it leaves you stripped, you know. So this experience of disillusionment is very unpleasant, but it's very beneficial because it allows you to be in touch with what's really real, and you gradually get to see what really is this thing that we're trying to do. Because you want to be true, you want to be real, you don't want to be under any illusions. And so you just have to kind of strip yourself down to the barest bones and eventually become just an incorporeal soul. And Baba had said today, you go from Sakari to Akari and Akari to Nirakari, the physical to the subtle to the incorporeal. And so the process of doing that, the process of stripping oneself off or allowing oneself to be stripped off of all the veneers and the illusions and delusions and so on, is the road to find your power. Because at the end of the day, none of it matters. And what matters is, I exist. And Baba can look at me and I can look at me and, you know, it's the essence is the truth, you know. And then you have your self-respect. Because in that condition, you know, you cannot do something against your conscience. Because the reason why we do something against our conscience is illusory. It doesn't have any validity, I see. So you're stripping away the validity of the excuses, the justifications, all of the things that really basically protect the ego. But what you want is to find the real self or to find your power. And that then becomes the highest priority, the most valuable, the most interesting, the most beautiful. And this then is what allows us to have yoga.